There could be no doubting the bravery of the Medes. Men prepared to throw themselves against a line of bristling spears and shields, but they provided easy prey for a wall of bronze-clad professional killers. Within minutes, the front had taken on the character of a charnel house. The Spartans employed their spearheads and swords to eviscerate, and their skill in fighting close to their enemies was a thing of horror to their fellow Greeks. Now, in the hellish closeness of the hot gates, the Medes learned to share in that dread. Those who fell did so with gaping wounds. Those still on their feet found themselves soused with blood, slithering over entrails, stumbling over the growing piles of the dead. For the Greeks too, though, straining to hold their positions against the seething crush of the enemy, the fight was desperate. Butting back their assailants with their heavy shields, jabbing, slashing, hacking all they could, feeling the sun steadily heating up the bronze of their armour, soaked in sweat and blood, those in the line of battle could hardly be expected to hold their position all the day. Nor were they, for Leonidas, with cool efficiency, ensured a regular transfusion of fresh troops to the front. Those withdrawn could have a drink and bandage their wounds. All day the battle continued to rage, until the Greeks, having seen off the Medes, and then reinforcements from Susa, found themselves, as the shadows lengthened, facing a moment of crisis. A glittering of jewelled weaponry, a shimmering of exquisite colours, and the Immortals, the most proficient and dreaded of all the great king's regiments, as supreme among the Persians as the Spartans were among the Greeks, advanced into the pass. To meet them, Leonidas ordered all his bodyguard back to the front line. And there the Lacedaemonians fought in a manner never to be forgotten. Courage, strength, and resolution they displayed, as was only to be expected, but also a murderous talent for the tactical manoeuvre. At a signal, they would turn, stumble, appear to flee in panic. And then, as the enemy surged forwards in triumph, their discipline momentarily forgotten, the Spartans would wheel round, reform their line with a fearsome clattering of shields, and hack down their pursuers. This tactic was doubly demoralizing to their assailants, for apart from the casualties it inflicted, it served to rub their noses in the brute fact of the Spartans' continued battle-worthiness, even after a whole day's fighting, even amid the heat and the blood and the stench and the flies. Reluctant to squander his best troops fruitlessly, the great king at length ordered their withdrawal, and the Immortals retreated back through the west gate. The pass was left to the evening shadows, piles of tangled corpses, carnage, and the Greeks.